In this day of economic...
Fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com.
Everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, also known as Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and my name's Nicholas, and we're going through the Bible. We're going through the Scripture book by book and chapter by chapter, verse by verse, pretty much on a daily basis here. We've ended up in the Psalms. And we're at Psalm 59. I'm going to just back up to verse 1 and start there. To the chief musician, and of course, as the exclamation here I have is that, the King James translators did not translate some Hebrew words, in the especially throughout the Psalms, because they have here a Hebrew word, Al-Tash-Keith, which means thou must not destroy, and it says probably the opening words of a popular song. So whatever that means, I don't really know. And then it says miktam, also another Hebrew word, which means an engraving or a poem. So when I read that in Hebrew, and most people, if you don't have perhaps you just have a regular Bible that doesn't have the Hebrew in it or the Strong's definitions, you wouldn't have a clue what all that means. So that, along with the word, a few other words that the King James translators chose not to translate into English. And I guess maybe in this case they thought for some reason that leaving it in Hebrew was beneficial, or it was not important enough to be translated. I don't know. I haven't figured that one out yet. Now, when they didn't translate the word heresy from the Greek, because the word heresy entered into the English language from the 1611 King James Bible. Before that, there was no such word as heresy. But when they chose not to translate the word into English, it became an English word. And taking on different connotations and meanings, but heresy basically means sectarianism or division. As Paul exclaimed, he said, I was of the sect of the Pharisees, and the word sect there is the same word that they chose not to translate in other places. So he could have said, I was of the heresy of the Pharisees. Of course, the connotation is different in that case than what it has come to mean in the meantime. Just a interesting thing there as we go through the Psalms and see a few more words that were not translated from the original language, in this case being Hebrew. The word heresy, of course, was the Greek. So we have to the chief musician, Al, and I gotta look for pronunciation each time I do this, Al-Tash-Keith and Miktam of David. When Saul sent, and they watched the house to kill him, deliver me from my enemies, O my God, defend me from them that rise up against me, deliver me from the workers of iniquity, save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Yahuwah. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold. And that's where we left off last time. Verse 5, Thou therefore, Yahuwah, God of hosts, the God of Israel, and he does name him by name, so that's why I go ahead and I say Yahuwah, whereas the word is followed by the word Elohim, which is translated into God in English. And as far as I know, we really don't have a better word for Elohim in English. Excuse me. And there are some out there that they don't want to say the word God. Some because they don't want to say the name of God, and some go as far as to type it, and when they write it out, they put G-D, as if that was really the name of God. But here we have the name of God, Yahuwah in Hebrew, next to the word Elohim in Hebrew, which we translate God, which is not his name, because God can, or the Elohim word can also be a magistrate or a judge or a mighty one. It could be a mighty one on the earth, a man, and or in context, it could be the Almighty God. And in this context, it is where David proclaims and says, Thou therefore, O Yahuwah, by name the Creator, God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. And of course it says Selah there, which means to pause, basically. So I'm just going to pause when I see the word Selah. For effect, I think that's what it's there for, because other than that, it doesn't mean anything. Verse 6, they return at evening, they make a noise like a dog, they go round about the city, behold, they belch out with their mouth, swords are in their lips, for who they say doth hear, but thou, Yahuwah, shall laugh at them, thou shall have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength, I will wait upon thee, for God is my defense. The God of mercy shall prevent me. God shall see me. The God of mercy shall prevent me, and I guess prevent him from being taken. God shall let me see my desire upon my enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. And the point here, as I talked a little bit about this yesterday, for the sin of their mouth, the words of their lips, let them be taken. You know, when every word you speak tells you about who you are, so in a way you receive an immediate judgment by your own lips, the works of your hands and the works of your life tell us about who you are. They form you into what you are, and that is your judgment. Basically, your judgment is your own lips. The judgment comes out of your own lips because it declares what you are. The judgment is the works of your own hands, for your works declare who you are. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob to the ends of the earth. 14, Psalm 59. And at evening, let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog, and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat, and grudge if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Psalm 60. To the chief musician upon Shushan Iduth Miktam of David to teach. When he strove with Aram Naharaim and with Aram Zobah, when Joab returned and smote of Edom in the valley of Salt 12,000. O God, thou hast cast us off, thou hast scattered us, thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble, thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand. And hear me, God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice, I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine hand. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast out my shoe. Philistah, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Will not thou, O God, which hast cast us off? And thou, O God, which didst not go out with our armies, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall dread down our enemies. You know, I fear for the nation that I live in as I review the Old Testament, and I see the nation, the peoples, yes, Jacob, Israel, that the Heavenly Father adopted and called them a people and separated them out of the earth for himself. And he did miracles among them. He gave them his law. He gave the whole earth his law through them. And I see how that he judged them time and time again. And he stood back while they failed in their endeavors, while they lost, you know, many lives. They were put in bondage and servitude over and over again by their enemies around them. And I just think it's coming. When he punished Israel, and when Babylon came in, Nebuchadnezzar came in, and judgment began at the house of Yahuwah, or the house of the Lord, as they say these days. Then after he judged Israel, he continued by judging all of the nations around Israel until Babylon had wielded by the hand of our Heavenly Father, had subdued every nation and punished every nation around Israel, starting with, yes, judgment begins at the house of Yahuwah, starting with Israel, and then continuing in judgment, wielding Babylon as his sword, the sword of Yahuwah. That's what the scripture says, that Babylon was a sword in his hand to punish his own people and to punish all of those nations round about Israel that should have benefited by Israel, by the word of God that came out of Israel. Instead, what happened, of course, Israel was polluted by the nations around them. Rather than being a light, they allowed their light to be put out and vanquished, nationally speaking. Of course, the Heavenly Father always had his remnant, and he has his remnant today. Some people are astonished, but I have accepted the fact that most people will definitely just not hear, that there will always only be a remnant, that nations as a whole will always, if they start out great and wonderful and lamb-like, of course, I have to add that they always degenerate on a national level to idolatry, to gross idolatry, as we see happening with us, as we see happen time and time again with Israel, but always maintaining that remnant. Is there hope for America? Was there hope for Israel? Obviously not. Israel was only maintained, and then, after Babylon, maintained in the times of the Gentiles for one purpose, and that was to bring forth the promised seed of the Messiah from the time of Babylon, the time of the Gentiles, and which has existed until today, the times of the Gentiles. You've heard that phrase, from your authorized King James Version, from the mouth of the Messiah, the times of the Gentiles. Jerusalem shall be trodden down underfoot until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Well, I believe that times of the Gentiles began when Jerusalem became trodden down, and that was with Babylon. So that extends backwards from when the Messiah coined that phrase, so to speak. Of course, I'm sure he spoke it in Hebrew, but we have that understanding now as a revelation that the Heavenly Father has given me, that that is the times of the Gentiles, and it continues, and it will continue until the Messiah returns. And as Daniel's the image, dream, and the interpretation foretells, until that image is ground to powder and driven away like the chaff of the threshing floor, so that no place is found for it anymore. And then his kingdom fills the whole earth. Then we will know. Then the ends of the times of the Gentiles will be through. And until then, we are still in it. And Jerusalem still is trodden down of the nations. As a matter of fact, Jerusalem is now, by edict of the what do you call those people? United Nations. Yeah, those people. Of course, controlled by the Vatican. You know, the Vatican has its seat, and a controlling seat in the United Nations, but called the International City. And if an international city does not mean trodden down by the nations, because what is the UN and what does international mean but nations? So Jerusalem is the international city, and there it is in your face, still trodden down of the nations, and we're still in that time. So a little insight into prophecy there that I believe the Heavenly Father has shown me. And I haven't heard that from anyone else, but I think it's quite clear. And perhaps I'm sure there are other people that have understood that beside me. We're in chapter 60, or Psalm 60, as you would say. And we just finished that. So we're going to move on here to Psalm 61. To the chief musician upon Neginah, a psalm of David. Of course, Neginah means properly instrumental music, by extension a poem set to music. There we go. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my voice. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. And this makes me think of, well, what I was just talking about, that image. And toward the end of that image, we have iron and clay. And the prophet declares, he says, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Who shall mingle themselves with the seed of men? Of course, the people of God, the people called by his name. And at one time, that was Israel. But in context of that image, it goes with the iron and the clay. Of course, the iron representing the people of the iron and the government systems of the iron, which exist today and will exist until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there's nothing else. people talking about a new world order, and they're looking for, you know, this one world Antichrist figure to stand up, and he's going to create a one world government with a one world monetary system. But you know what? I see iron and clay, and after the iron and clay, I don't see anything. I see the kingdom of God. I see that stone that was cut without hands striking the image in the feet, yes, in the feet of iron and clay, and obliterating it. I don't see a one-world government. If there is going to be a one-world government, we have it now. We have it in the form of iron and clay. And we are the clay. The people are the clay. And that's why I think this psalm is so fitting for this time. Because we say our heart is overwhelmed. Aren't we overwhelmed when we look around and we see what's going on? And we see the evil of that has taken over the civil governments of the world, and how they all seem to be one and the same because they're all iron. But David says here, "For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy." Yes, we have. He is our shelter, and he is our strong tower, while we are the clay amongst iron. It says, "I will abide in thy tabernacle forever." And I like the word here that the translator, "I will trust in the covert of thy wings." You know what covert means? We have covert operations. That means secrecy. That means we're hidden. And that's how I feel sometimes when I'm traveling around in my automobile and I see the policy enforcers out there. I'm trusting in the shadow of his wings. I feel like I'm hidden in plain sight. I am covert. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. That's Psalm 61, verse 4. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Let our motto be, don't tread on me. LibertyRadioLive.com.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Who will tell them if not you?
Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from LibertyRadioLive.com. Order online today or call 559-781-3773.
Now listen to me.
Don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. FlyingEagleGold.com offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world. At very competitive cost, Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958. And he takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. To hear the whole story, not the hard sell, you're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
Should lift his name on high, and many people sing that song, but they never say the name Yahuwah. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going through Psalm 61 and talking about I will trust in the covert of thy wings. And of course, what I'm talking about traveling around in my automobile, hidden in plain sight from the policy enforcers of the civil authority, which has breached its contract with the Heavenly Father, because they punish not just evildoers, but they punish anyone who won't go along, who won't break God's law. Because the fact is, of course, they want me, put it plainly, to get a driver's license. Well, one, I'm not a driver, but, you know, it wouldn't be against God's law for me to get a driver's license. If that's all they wanted. If they wanted me to go down and pass a competency test to make sure that I'm fit and able to travel on the highways without harming someone, that I'm physically able to steer an automobile, because I won't say drive an automobile because I'm not a driver. I steer the automobile. And if they wanted me to do that, fine. I would go down and I would demonstrate to whatever the authority they put out there that I am fit and able, my eyes work well, I can see everything, I'm physically able, I have, you know, there's nothing wrong with me, I can steer an automobile and travel safely without harming other people, being more of a danger than anyone else out there. But that's not good enough for them. They want me now to break God's law in order to get a driver's license. Well, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I say no. That's right. I will not bow down, because if I have to, that's what it was all about. The Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they were going to break, they were being commanded to break the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. They were told they had to break God's law, and they said, we will not break God's law. We do not care. And so I can't, because they want me to break God's law in order to get a driver's license now. And how is that, you might say? Well, they want me to sign up for benefits from another god. They want me to sign up and get the Mark of the Beast to become a card-carrying member of the Mark of the Beast monetary system. Yes, and they call it Social Security. Well, my security is not in them. My security is in my Creator. I have sought first His kingdom, as the Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He provides everything I need. Why should I forget His benefits and to turn to men or an image created by men for benefits from them? And I like my Heavenly Father's retirement plan is much better than theirs. And if you're interested in my travel issue, you go to my website, crosstheborder.org, scroll down a little bit there, and you'll see a link that says travel document. And you can check it out there. And you can read about the laws that how I'd have to break God's law to get a driver's license. And most people will not do that. You know why? Because they're afraid. But you know what the Scripture says about cowards? It has a list of people who will be without the kingdom of God. Who will be without. And without the kingdom of God, well, it has adulterers, murderers, all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. And also it says fearful or cowards. The same thing. And someone might ask me, well, Nicholas, aren't you afraid? Well, of course I'm afraid. We are all afraid. But when we allow that fear to rule our actions, that's when we become cowards. We're all afraid. Yes, I get a chill up my spine when one of the policy enforcers is near me on the highway as I'm traveling. Yes, they might stop me and take my vehicle. I've had that experience. So they may even go as far as to beat me up and throw me in jail. Yes. Yeah, I'm afraid. But so what? The Heavenly Father said, be not afraid of sudden fear. That means you're going to feel it, but don't let it rule you. And He says, fear not them that can kill the body. So anything less than killing the body, we're absolutely not supposed to fear. If we're not supposed to fear death itself, how could we allow ourselves to be ruled by fear of anything less than death? Like the fear of losing our automobile or being tased or beaten or thrown in prison. Of course, I think that can be avoided by being totally non-combative. A lot of times, sometimes it can't. You know, sometimes you get these people, they just want to beat you. Like I watched a video the other day where five or six cops jumped up and started beating an unconscious man. I think they all got fired because it got caught on video. But if it hadn't got caught on video, well, the guy thought that he sustained his injuries in the accident because he rolled over and was ejected from his vehicle. But after reviewing the video, he found out that, the four or five cops had jumped on him while he was still unconscious and started beating him. Interesting, huh? But yeah, anything could happen. And yes, fear is an emotion, but we're not supposed to be driven or ruled by our emotions, because it's only when we allow that fear to rule us And yes, it may rule us, you know, instinctively for a few moments, but we have to learn to rule it. And another thing is, you got to ask yourself, why do you allow fear to rule you? You know, why are you too afraid to stop walking with one foot in the world, with one foot in the Mark of the Beast monetary system? And is it the Mark of the Beast monetary system? Well, it absolutely is. Because you know what the Heavenly Father said? The Scripture declares it over and over. He said, a just weight and a balance are mine. So we know that a just weight and a balance, or a honest monetary system, belongs to, guess who? Our Creator. He said it was His, and that's one of the Lamb-like principles that this nation was founded on. But He said an unjust weight and an unjust balance, a false balance, is an abomination. And so if you have a monetary system that's based on a false weight, and God says it's an abomination, guess what? It is not His. And it is fitting that the Mark of the Beast monetary system should be an abomination by the Word of God. So how could I become a card-carrying member of that? Because I can't partake in it. I can't borrow money and partake in the creation of this false weight and measure unless I get the number, the Mark of the Beast. And it's definitely a financial number. No one's going to argue with that. No one can buy or sell or trade unless they have the Mark of the Beast or the number of His name. And there it is. It's all plain. You know, it's like, let's read the prophecy backwards and go back, and we can find out. You want to know whose Mark of the Beast it is? Well, you know, whose does it end up being? It ends up being controlled by, well, the beast. The beast of Revelation, the first beast, and the second beast who morphs into the image of the first beast, that they work in unison together. And who's the false prophet? Well, of course, that would denote some religious figure. I kind of wonder who that could be. Yes, I don't wonder at all who it could be. So fear. So why do we fear? Why do we fear not? I mean, you know, perhaps you think, well, you know what? Maybe, Nicholas, there is something to this Mark of the Beast thing you're talking about. You know, that does make sense, that God's monetary system would be a just weight and a balance, and a false balance would not be His, but an abomination. So it would make sense that the Mark of the Beast monetary system would be an abomination and not be God's monetary system. So that makes sense, and we have that today. And to participate in that, let's say you want to buy a $350,000 home and you don't have the money. Well, you can create the money if you get the number and you go down and talk to their money people. That's right. Or credit cards and things, or borrowing money. You may say you want that $35,000 pickup truck and you don't have the money for it. Well, voila. You know, we have the magicians over there. We have the sorcerers of the monetary system. You sign that note, and they will create that money out of nothing for you. You're a participant. And every time that money is created, it dilutes, because it is a debt monetary system. It dilutes all the other money out there and makes it worth less. Well, that's obvious with inflation and prices of things continually going up. That is the false weight, the false measure, the abomination that the Scripture talks about. But you say, oh, I got to have the number, or I can't get a driver's license and the police might stop me. But why are you fearful? Why do you allow fear? And here's the crux of the whole matter. Why people allow fear to rule over them? Because they have sin in their life that they don't want to repent of. And they fear the judgment of God. That's why. They fear what will happen to them, because the Heavenly Father has declared that He uses the civil authority to judge evildoers. Now that the civil authority punishes good people too, well, that's something you have to take into consideration. And I have taken that into consideration, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And I said, it doesn't matter. I can't break God's law for fear. So whatever it is in your life that makes you fearful, that keeps you from trusting in the Creator. Because, you know, my trust is not this. My trust is not that God will get me out of every scrape. My trust is not that God will deliver me from the fire. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, well, our God may deliver us, and he may not. Nevertheless, we will not break his law to satisfy the civil authority. And that's the stand. It's easy to compromise. You know, you can say, oh, well, I have to obey the civil authority, but at the cost of breaking God's law. That's when you know that you are not to break the civil authority. I mean, that you are not to obey them if they require you to break God's law. Continuing here in chapter 61 or Psalm 61, verse 4, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, under the shadows of the wings of the Almighty. Verse 5, for thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Hallelujah. You know, that's the heritage I want. I make my vows. I will not break your law, even under threat of death, even under threat of not being able to pass the civil authorities muster, should they perhaps stop me and persecute me because I have not kept their law by breaking God's law. You have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Hallelujah. What a heritage. That's the heritage I want. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Make that heritage mine and make it stronger every day. The heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life. David continues here. In his years as a many generations, he shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. And it's a day-by-day thing. You have to build yourself up. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in your life. You do not want to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I have figured it out. You know, the unpardonable sin, the blaspheming the Holy Spirit, is not allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work in your life. And that is to convict you of sin. And if you continually blaspheme the Holy Spirit and don't allow him, if you continually do not allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life to convict you of sin so that you can repent and bring forth the works meet for repentance, yes, learn righteousness, have his righteousness imputed to you, then you have blasphemed the Holy Spirit and you will not be forgiven forever. So repent today. Concede. Surrender to the Holy Spirit, to that convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Let him have the sin. Let him have it. Let him deal with it. Cry out continually. Every time you fall into that sin, whatever one it is that he's trying to work on in your life, as I found in my life and from the beginning when the Holy Spirit had started working in me, first he got the biggest sin, and that's usually a sexual sin of some sort, or it may be drugs or whatever, for depending on the personality. But usually he goes for whatever the biggest thing is in your life, the biggest sin, the big one. And then after that big one's gone, or after he's dealt with that, because we always have to perhaps never think that we can't fall, because that sin will always try to come back. But then he works on the next biggest one. And he keeps tackling the biggest one, the next biggest one in your life. That's the way the Holy Spirit works, or at least he's worked in my life that way. He just keeps taking the biggest sin down because he's trying to make you pure. And if he's going to work on one or two at a time, he's going to take the biggest ones down. At least he has for me. I mean, there's no hard and fast rule for how the convicting power of the Holy Spirit's going to work in someone's life. But, you know, from my experience and the experience of some others, that's usually how it works. He goes for the biggie, that one you really don't want to give up. Or sometimes it's just so obvious because it is so big that you have to give it up. And then he goes on to the next one. But if there comes a point when you say, no, not that one, well, then you're traversing into dangerous territory, because You're traversing into territory where blaspheming the Holy Spirit may take you down. Let him work. Let him convict you. Repent of your sins and learn righteousness and to bring forth the works meet for repentance. Let's continue on here. We're in Psalm 62, verse 1. To the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall you be, as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. And it's obvious here that the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. That Yahshua is our rock. He is the rock that was cut out without hands, that will strike the image in the feet, and his kingdom will fill the whole earth. He is the same God today, yesterday, and forever. The God of the Old Testament was Yahshua, and Yahshua is the same, the God of the Old Testament. He is my rock and my salvation. As a matter of fact, the name Yahshua means Yahuwah is my salvation. And so he proclaims it here. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. And he keeps using the word Elohim, of course, in context. Elohim, God, referring to our Creator, our salvation, our rock, our defense. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. And you know what? That reminds me of Social Security. Listen to it and apply this to Social Security. Trust not in oppression. Social Security oppresses people because it robs them of their labors. And become not vain in robbery. It is nothing. Oh, well, you know what? I worked and I paid into it. There's a vanity there. I paid into it, so I'm going to justify it. I'm going to justify breaking God's law because I was a participator in it. You know, that's like saying that, I grew up in the south side of Chicago and my family was part of the mob and my parents ran a protection racket. And, you know, we ate our bread and paid our bills by the protection racket. And when I grew up, you know, I inherited the business. And, what will I do? I've invested my life for years into the protection racket business. It's an insurance scheme, in case you're wondering, which people are forced to pay into, or bad things will happen to them. Isn't that the same thing? And then this guy, you know, who grew up in this family, and he inherited the protection racket and enjoyed it, and he invested his life into it and his labor for years. Suddenly, guess what happens to him? Somebody preaches the gospel to him. And Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes and convicts him about the robbery. That's what we're talking about here, robbery. Become not vain in robbery. Trust not in oppression. And so he gets convicted about the robbery and oppression by which he is obtaining his livelihood. But Jesus comes to him and says, it's okay, because you're depending on that. I understand why you can't keep my law. I understand why you have to go on breaking my law. Right? Wrong. It's the same thing. It is the exact same thing. There is no difference. Absolutely no difference whatsoever. A protection racket, an unlawful protection racket, is an unlawful protection racket. Trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Oh, but I paid in for years. My heart is set on it. I'm 55 years old. And I'm going to retire in 10 years and I've paid in for years. Well, join the club, you know. Join the club of the rest of us who have an upright heart and know it's wrong and are willing to give it up and not become participators in it anymore. As a matter of fact, who have repented and will not, like a dog, return to its vomit. Or then you could begin your little dangerous trip of, not allowing the Holy Spirit to bring that conviction into your life. Well, let him work on anything else. Perhaps I'll even start my own good works over here. I'm not going to do this anymore, and I'm not going to do that anymore, and I'll give up fish on Friday, and I'll say 10 rosary beads or whatever. Or maybe I'll just adopt a different religion. Yes, I'll work my way into heaven. But just, I can't give up. I can't stop. It's like the whore that hears the gospel and has a contract with her pimp. It's all over, but, I signed a contract. Doesn't the scripture say that I should keep my vows and keep my word? So I have to continue selling my body and being a whore because I have a contract with my pimp. And Jesus understands why I can't keep his law. Okay, we're going into a break here. We'll be back after the news. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border.